You turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in the chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Take this opportunity to thank the Reverend McKee for the invitation to be with you here and to share with you on this Monday night harvest service. It's our joy and privilege, and as always, to preach the Word of God. Enjoyed the service thus far. Enjoyed the singing immensely. And enjoyed that word of testimony. The Lord continue to bless you and use you in the days that lie ahead. 2 Timothy chapter 4, please, and we'll read some verses from the start of this chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap on themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And then just one part of the penultimate verse, verse 21. The apostle continues to write. He says, do thy diligence to come before winter. It is that last phrase that we have read together that we want to consider by the help of God this evening. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer, and let's seek God's face as we come to his word for tonight. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee already for thy presence with us in this meeting. We thank thee, Lord, for the opportunity to praise thy name and to glorify thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the abundance of thy goodness and mercy to us yet another year. We thank thee, Lord, for the evident tokens of thy blessing toward us. All around us we see thy mercy and thy goodness. O God, we thank thee as well for thy presence, particularly in this meeting tonight. We thank the Lord for the hymns that have been offered unto thee, for the messages and song that have been brought. Lord, for the word of testimony. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for a life that is saved. And our God, our prayer is tonight that what you've done for thy servant, what you've done for so many in this meeting, Lord, we pray that tonight you'll do for others. Lord, we ask, O God, of thee tonight that you would be pleased to remove the scales from off the eyes. And Lord, that this night that sinners might see, Lord, their awful lost condition. And Lord, that in seeing that condition may they see the only Saviour from their sin. We cry unto thee, O tonight, Lord, that you'll hide this preacher far behind the cross. And Lord, this night that sinners will behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight in this place a highway might be made for the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ. Lord, do thine own work tonight, we pray. Do thine own particular saving work, we pray. Lord, we ask of thee this evening that salvation will come and visit this house. Make, Lord, this an uncomfortable meeting, we pray, for the unconverted. Lord, make it a heart meeting, O God, we pray. Lord, take away the complacency and the comfort that there is in sin tonight. And we pray, Lord, that this evening there will be that brokenness. Lord, there'll be that contrition. And Lord, tonight there'll be conversions from sin. O God, we pray that the cry will go up from this place. What must I do to be saved? And Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that the message is still the same. Lord, even that message that came back to that jailer all those years ago. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Give us help, Lord, now, as we would seek to open the Scriptures of truth. We realize, O Lord, the immense task that lies before us, the solemn, Lord, reality that lies before us of handling thy word. Give help, we pray. Lord, we pray you'll glorify thy name. Give help in the hearing as well. Lord, we pray that you stand with us in the pulpit. Lord, sit with each one in the pew. We pray, Lord, that tonight thy name and everything would be magnified and glorified. Hear this our prayer, for we ask it in the name of Christ and for his honour and glory alone. Amen. Amen. In order to quell and to quash the rebellion that was going on at that time in northern Scotland, the English government under King William started to open negotiations with the Scottish Jacobite leaders. Many of the clans in Scotland at the end of the 17th century were still loyal and swore allegiance to James. And so the Williamite government sought to secure support amongst the various clan leaders in the Highlands and the Lowlands of Scotland. And all the clans and their leaders were given a particular deadline of the 31st of December of that year to sign an oath of allegiance to the king. And if they failed to do so, they would be met with the full extremities of the law, which ultimately would mean and lead to death. And so as that proclamation was issued, one by one, the various clan leaders signed the proclamation. That is, all but one of the leaders, a man by the name of MacLean, who refused right to the very bitter end to sign the loyalty and the oath of allegiance to the English government. Yet one or two days before the deadline came, he decided that he would sign. But in order for him to sign, he had to make his way to Fort William and there to sign that allegiance in person. When he got there, he was told that he had to then make his way to the civil magistrate in Inverary. MacLean pleaded with the officials in Fort William. He said, "I'm not going to get there in time because the snow has come in, the winter is now upon us, and I'm not going to get there in time." The officials in Fort William said, "It doesn't matter, you have to make your way to Inverary. That's where you need to sign." And so MacLean, through the depths of winter and through the snow at that time, set off for Inverary. And it took him much longer than he had planned. And the deadline now was passed by the time he made it to Inverary. It was 3 days after the deadline. And he pleaded with the officials there to accept his signature. But they refused. Because he had not met the deadline that had been set. On the 12th of February, a group of soldiers loyal to the government descended on Glencoe, where MacLean and the MacDonald clan were. And that day, MacLean and 38 members of his clan were murdered. The reason given? That they had failed to sign the oath of allegiance before the deadline that was set. You see, they didn't make the preparation that was needed. And it cost them their life. They were bidden. They were warned. They were told. They were given ample time. But they failed to be in time. And what gospel application and instruction there is there. Because so often today across our society, there are many people and they're intending to be saved. And they're intending to get right with God. They will resist it and they will rebel against it for a period of time. But then sometime they believe they will get right with God. But there is an awful problem tonight. And that problem is of crossing the deadline that God has set. Maybe there's someone in this meeting tonight and you believe that you will get saved when it suits you, when you feel like it, and when you're up to it. Can I say right at the very outset tonight, you'll get saved in God's time, which is now, and you'll get saved on God's terms, which is through His Son, the Saviour. In the words of our text tonight, Paul is encouraging young Timothy to come and to visit him in Rome before the weather turns bad. Before the opportunity is passed for Timothy to come. In verse 21 he says, do thy diligence, Timothy, to come before winter. Here was the desire of the old apostle for his younger brother in the Lord and his colleague in the ministry to have an opportunity to come and visit him in Rome before it would be too late. And I want tonight, by the help of God, to lift these words out of their context in which we find them in verse 21 and to apply them in the gospel this evening. Because there are very clear gospel lessons for us in this verse, in this one little phrase. And tonight, if you're in this meeting without Christ, I want you to see this not as a word from this preacher, but I want you to see this as a word from God tonight. I want you to see this as God's message to you tonight. Sinner in this meeting tonight, don't think this is a message for someone beside you. Someone in front of you. Someone who needs this message more than you. This is a message for you. Therefore, don't pass it by. Don't dismiss it. Don't neglect it. The plea from the Lord tonight, the call from the Lord tonight to your heart is, do thy diligence to come before winter. I want you to see, first of all, here in this verse, that there is an impassioned plea. An impassioned plea. Paul says to young Timothy, come. Come. Here he's speaking as a father figure, and he's speaking with love and concern to Timothy. And he says, come, it'll be of immense benefit and value for you to come. We'll be able to have a blessed time together. And we'll be able to listen to each other and learn from each other. It will be of benefit to you tonight if you would come. And you see, tonight in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, He who planned and purposed redemption, He says to you tonight, come. Why? Because it will be of immense benefit to you and to your soul. Here's the invitation of the gospel. One of the sweetest gospel words is that little word, come. Come. Just four letters. But boy, what an invitation that is to the sinner tonight. We've already heard of how other religions, it's all about works. And other religions will tell you to go and do, go and work, go and try harder, go and live better. But tonight in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ says to you, sinner, don't go but come. Come. And come the way you are. Come as you are. Tonight in the gospel, the Lord doesn't call you to go back to your home and try a little better. He doesn't tell you to go back into your community and try to be a better citizen. He calls you tonight. He pleads with you. Just come, come the way you are. It implies a very clear separation. You see, there was a separation between Paul and Timothy. A separation of many miles. There was a distance. And tonight, sinner, you are separated from God. Your sins, Isaiah says, have separated between you and God. And there is a separation tonight. Tonight there is an alienation. Because you're far from God. But yet tonight, in tenderness and love to your soul, the Lord says, come. come. You see, for the sinner to come, you have to leave where you are and come to where Christ is. And sinner, tonight, what you have to do in the gospel is leave where you are. Where are you tonight? You're in your sin. And you have to leave your sin. You have to turn from your sin, repent of your sin, be sorry for that sin with a brokenness over that sin. And you have to come to where Christ is. How often has He called you to come? How often have you sat in this church, perhaps for many years, and you've heard that invitation in the gospel to come? Come. And how often, as you read through the scriptures of truth, that invitation is given, come. In this plea, there's not only an invitation, but it also speaks of a reconciliation. The first occurrence of the word come, we find it in Genesis chapter 7 and the verse 1. Where God says to Noah, come thou and all thy family into the ark. You see, God's judgment was coming. God's wrath was about to fall upon the world at that time. But the preparation was made. That preparation which would reconcile the sinner to God was made. The ark, of course, speaking and typifying Christ. And what a wonderful picture of Christ the ark really is. God's judgment was coming, but there was a place of refuge and a place of reconciliation. A place where they would be safe from the judgment of God that was in the ark. And sinner, tonight, there's only one place where you will be safe and you can be reconciled to God. And it's in the ark of God's salvation, which is Christ. There's only one place tonight of safety and security for your soul. And it's not found in yourself. It's not found in your church. It's not found in your own self-righteousness. It's found alone in Jesus Christ. He finished the work on Calvary. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He lived that perfect life. He kept every demand of the law that was laid upon Him. And in His death, He fulfilled the penalty and paid the price for sin. And on the cross He cried, finished. The work of reconciliation, redemption is complete. And that's why He tonight calls you to come. That's why tonight He pleads with you, come. There is a way that you can be reconciled to God. There is a way tonight that you can be saved. A way tonight that your sins can be covered. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious blood that was shed on the cross. Hymn writer says, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. And sinner, tonight, you miss the cross, then you've missed it. You miss Christ tonight. You miss your only hope for heaven. Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us, save us. There's reconciliation tonight through Christ. And that's why He pleads with you to come. Come. Be well worth our time just to go through the scriptures and see every time where that word come is used. Because every time the Lord issues that invitation, every time Christ issues that invitation to sinners to come, it's done so with sincerity. He desires tonight that you would be saved. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. Though your sins be as scarlet. They shall be as white as snow. Come. Come now, for all things are now ready. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We could go on and on and on, listing verses of Scripture where the Lord says to the sinner, come. He does so sincerely, genuinely tonight. The Lord pleads with you, sinner, tonight to come. Because you continue on as you are. You live your life in sin. You die in sin. Where He is, you will not be. Come. The only way you can, and that's through Christ. There's an impassioned plea in this verse. But I want you to see as well here that there is an important pursuit. Because he says, do thy diligence. He says, not only come, but make every effort to come. Do thy diligence. It means with every fibre of your being. It means to make haste. In other words, come, but hurry up and come. Don't delay. Don't leave it off. Don't hold back. Don't put off coming. But come immediately. You see, this was the opportune time for Timothy to come to see Paul. There was no better time than this time. Winter was closing in, and it soon would be impossible. Listen, sinner, tonight, you might make every plan to be saved. You might have every intention that one day you're going to get this matter of your soul salvation sorted. But you've been putting it off for too long. And the thing is, you think you can put it off for another time. But this is the best time. In fact, this is the only time you have. This is the most opportune time for you to come and be saved. While the Lord tonight is calling, pleading, imploring you to come. He says, through the words of the prophet Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. And I believe that in gospel meetings such as this, the Lord draws especially near. But you still think you've got all the time in the world. But the reality is the time isn't on your side. Speaking to the religious leaders of his day, Christ said to him, "Ye shall seek me. Ye shall seek me. And will not find me." Because it's possible to sin away your day of opportunity. It is possible to cross over God's deadline. And live many, many years yet in your sin. And never hear the call of God again. "Ye shall seek me," the Lord says. "You will not find me." That's why you need to seek the Lord now. While He is calling. While His voice is pleading with you. While His Spirit is striving with you. Sinner, you need to hurry up in your coming to Christ. You need to enter in to that straight gate. You need to strive. You need to do your diligence tonight. You need to be so diligent in this whole matter. You see, you can't afford to be negligent. Why? Because these are matters of life and death. Listen tonight, the destiny of your eternal soul depends tonight on what you do with Christ. You can't afford not to come. Entering in to Christ, coming to Christ, it requires effort. It requires overcoming the obstacles. Maybe there's the obstacles of people in your life tonight. Maybe there's someone close to you that's keeping you from being saved. Maybe a family member, and you fear if you were to get right with God, it might affect your relationship with them. And as a result, therefore, you're holding back. You don't want to unsettle things. You don't want to upset the apple cart. Listen, sinner, tonight, you need to get past those people and you need to get to Christ. If others want to go to hell and if others want to lose their soul in a lost eternity, well, so be it, but my friend, don't go there with them. You will stand to give an account personally, not for what someone else has done with Christ, but what you have done with Christ. You have to get past the obstacles of the people. You have to get past the obstacle of pride. Could it be that there's someone in this meeting tonight, you still believe you're good enough the way you are? You don't need this salvation. You're a fine, upstanding member of this community. You're highly thought of across the whole district. And you're into everything. You're proud of it. You still think you don't need to come to Christ. I pray that tonight the Lord would open your eyes to see the awful condition of your soul. You've got nothing to be proud of tonight. We're sinners, wretches before God. Maybe tonight you need to get past the obstacles of pleasure. Maybe there's the pleasures of this old world that's holding you back. The booze or the bookies. The pleasures that you don't want to give up. You want to hold on to them. You'd rather keep your drink than be damned in a lost eternity. You'd rather hold on to the things of this world and lose your soul for all eternity rather than giving your life to Christ. Or you're trading your soul for a moment of pleasure. And you're getting shortchanged. You see, there's a decision that needs to be made. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long will you hold on to your sin? How long will you hold back from coming to Christ? Tonight there is urgency in the gospel. Because the only time that you have is now. That convenient season never comes. That future date that you believe you will get right with God will never come because this is the only time you have. You need to do your diligence. You need to come. And you need to come now. There is an impassioned plea here. There is a pursuit. But I want you to see in closing tonight, there is an impending period. It says, do thy diligence to come before winter. There was a time coming when it would be impossible for Timothy to come to Rome. Winter was approaching. The seas would be rough. The journey would be perilous. Too dangerous then for Timothy to come. And so Paul says to him, come now before you cannot come at all. Before it's too dangerous, before it's too risky. He says, if you don't come now, you won't get. There's danger, there's death and delay. And sinner, tonight I would plead with you, I would implore you, come before winter. Before it's too late. You think of the seasons of the year, the spring, it speaks of new life. The summertime, it speaks of warmth and heat. The autumn time, it speaks of that season of reaping. But what happens in the winter season? There's death. All the blooms are gone. Those flowers which were so radiant in the summer months and spring months are now dying. Winter speaks of death. We're told in the Bible to consider that little insect, the ant. Go to the ant, the wise man says, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. She prepareth her meat in the summer, gathereth her food in the harvest. The ant makes the wise decision to prepare while there is time for the impending winter season. They prepare their meat in the summer for the future. They're wise. Oh, that tonight, sinner, you were wise. That you understood this, that you would consider your latter end. Because the winter of your life is coming, fast approaching. And how do you know? But your soul may be drifting over God's deadline tonight. Tonight. Time is now fleeting. The moments are passing. Passing from you and from me, shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming for you and for me. You see, sinner, tonight you're nearer hell than you've ever been in your life. Tonight you're nearer a lost eternity than you've ever been, closer to the flames of a lost eternity than ever before. That's why you need to come before winter. Come before it's too late. Come before the death angel comes and takes you out into God's eternity. Because then it will be forever too late. No second chances in eternity. Many will cry unto the Lord in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? And they'll rhyme off all the good things. You can live without Christ. You can die without Christ. But you'll never be in heaven without Christ. And you die in your sin. You'll be in hell for all eternity without him. Seasons are passing so quickly by. Harvest has passed. Summer has ended. you're not saved. Not saved. Therefore, tonight we plead with you. Come before it is too late. Come before death comes. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. You're closer to death than you've ever been. Therefore, tonight be in time. Before you enter the winter of your life, come to Jesus Christ before it is forever too late. How many summers you've wasted, how many harvests you've seen come and gone. Remember what David said. He said, there's but a step. Just one step between me and death. You could take that step tonight. I could take that step tonight. If you were to step out of time into God's eternity, where would you be? Where would you be? Where would you be 5 minutes after you die? You're right with God tonight. Do you know Christ as your Savior? If not, then do thy diligence to come before winter. Will you tonight leave your sin? Come to Christ. Will you do it now? Will you do it before it's too late? Where the Savior in mercy is pleading, will you turn to Him tonight? Will you come and be saved? Let's bow in prayer. I'll hand back to the Reverend McKee. But before we do so, we implore you tonight, make sure you're right with God. Make sure you're saved. If tonight finds you out of Christ, still far from Him, will you not tonight leave your sin? What is it that's holding you back? Who is it that's holding you back? Get past them tonight and get to Christ before it is forever too late. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come. And come now. May the Lord give you grace so to do.